Warning, some material discussed on South Carolina Spook Show may be too intense for a younger audience. Listener discretion is advised. The beautifully crafted Abbeville Opera House in the Upstate has been the home of many shows and performances since its opening in 1908. But according to many witnesses, some of its ghosts seem to stick around for one final performance. My name is Blake Mosley, and this is South Carolina Spook Show. Stay tuned. Ghosts, aliens, cryptids. These are a few of my favorite things. And since you're listening to the show, I'm willing to bet that you love them too. But if your interest in the paranormal extends beyond this state, then Paranormality Magazine is right up your alley. Paranormality Magazine has tons of stories uploaded daily that cover a range of topics, from tier lists of your favorite horror movies, in-depth analysis into supernatural experiences, and much, much more. And if you're finding yourself wanting to get involved with this incredible community, you can submit your own story detailing your experiences. I have been hooked on reading these articles, and I truly think that if you enjoy this podcast, then you're going to love Paranormality Magazine. And that's why I've become an affiliate, and now you can sign up using the coupon code SPOOKSHOW along with anything that you purchase from the site. Visit ParanormalityMag.com/SPOOKSHOW today to kickstart your new paranormal obsession. That's ParanormalityMag.com/SpookShow. Abbeville is a quiet little city approximately 90 minutes west of Columbia. The city's motto is pretty, near, perfect. And we surely agree. The town has just over 5,000 people and at least one resident ghost, who resides in the Abbeville Opera House. It's not unusual in the theater world for performers to stick around in one of their favorite performance venues, and the folks in Abbeville are more than willing to share in a standing ovation for the evening's show with the lingering spirit of a young actress. The Abbeville Opera House opened in 1908 and was the talk of the Upstate, where at the time, few theaters of its kind existed. It remained open until 1960, and then was reopened by a local theater group again in 1968. Today, the theater is open year-round with a variety of wonderful performances, and the locals are more than willing to give up a prime balcony seat to the ghost of a young actress. Legend has it that in 1914, a young actress was to appear in a performance of Ben-Hur at the Abbeville Opera House. But she fell ill and instead took a seat on the second floor balcony. After the show, she died at a nearby inn. From that point forward, her seat has remained empty, except for her ghost. Performers have often reported looking up from the stage and seeing the ghost of the young actress, dressed in period clothing, seated in the empty seat. For more than 100 years, the ghost has been attending shows in the Abbeville Opera House. Have you seen her or felt her presence? I'd love to know. The Abbeville Opera House is located at 100 Court Square in Abbeville, South Carolina. Performances take place year-round. For more information and to see upcoming events or purchase tickets, visit their official website. I'll make sure to place a link in the description of the show notes. Coming up on South Carolina Spook Show. In a world full of true crime content, we all seem to know at least a little bit of trivia when it comes to serial killers. Although one of these killers seems to fly under the radar for the most part, but Junior Pierce was nothing short of a monster. And later, we've got a double dose of haunted theaters in this episode. The Dock Street Theater in Charleston has also had its fair share of tragedy since its opening, and plenty of ghosts to go along with it. We'll be right back. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. so things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Junior Pierce was one of those killers the U.S. South breeds like the kudzu that grows like wildfire alongside Dixie's highways. Until he was referenced in Season 2 on the hit Netflix series Mindhunter, the little-known Pierce wasn't exactly a bright, shining star in the constellation of serial killers. Pierce was similar to the athlete who has a stellar career playing for a small market team and never truly gets his due. But during a six-month rampage, Pierce proved as driven by a chilling bloodlust that ranked with the most monstrous. And by the time he died at the end of May at the Georgia Diagnostic Center, he had been jailed for 49 years. Only a brief respite in the U.S. death penalty during his crime spree saved Junior from the electric chair. His story is one of woe. Pierce grew up in rural Georgia with an abusive mother that caused him severe psychological duress. More often than not, he went hungry. A brief stint in the U.S. Army ended with a doctor's note and helped along with an IQ test that put his intellect at 70. Bottom-of-the-barrel physical labor followed, culminating with a factory job and marriage. But sometime in the late 1950s, Pierce suffered a head injury and began exhibiting bizarre behavior, including a deep-seated belief in his own unique qualities and a sense of superiority. He later told detectives that he spoke 7 languages. Junior eventually landed in prison for a slew of petty crimes before being released in May of 1970. A jailhouse shrink warned, quote, "He may be dangerous to himself and to others," unquote. Less than a month after he was released, the rootless Pierce made his way to North Augusta, South Carolina, where he found his first victim. She was 18-year-old nanny Ann Goodwin. On June 27th of 1970, while burglarizing a home in the sleepy town, he fatefully crossed paths with Goodwin, whom he shot dead where she stood. But it was the second murder that put Pierce on the big board. On December 18th, 1970, Peggy Cutno, 13, of Sumter, South Carolina, was planning to meet her sister for lunch. She left around 1 p.m., but she never showed up. Peggy was a child of privilege. Her father was State Representative James Cutno, and when he raised the alarm bell after 45 minutes, cops listened. 12 days later, her battered body was found about 10 miles from where she had last been seen. The bright teen had been beaten and suffocated. Before investigators had even found her body, Junior was killing again. On December 20th, he shot to death a gas station employee named Joe Fletcher for $78. On January 12, 1971, he robbed another store in rural Georgia and shot to death Lacey Tigpin, who was 51. He struck again on January 22nd when he kidnapped 32-year-old Helen Wilcox. Junior took the terrified woman to a nearby woods where he raped her before ending her life with a single bullet. Wilcox's body was buried in a shallow grave, but the noose was tightening around the redneck killer. On January 28, 1971, Junior robbed another store and shot to death its 60-year-old owner, Vivian Miles. The Southern thug then brutally beat Miles' 5-year-old granddaughter, who miraculously survived. But as he fled the murder scene, a truck driver spotted him, who Junior in turn tried to kill. The trucker gave cops a description of the killer. It was now 2 plus 2 equals 4 for the serial killer. The law caught up with Junior on March 8, 1971, just after he robbed a gas station. During his interrogation, he copped to 6 murders, but detectives have always believed that there may have been many more. Cops found a treasure trove of evidence in his apartment and his car. In Georgia and in South Carolina, he was convicted on all counts. Later, appeals that claim his Miranda rights were violated were tossed in the trash can. Pierce died at Georgia Diagnostic and Classification State Prison in Jackson, Georgia, in May of 2020. A loser in life and a loser in death. Coming up on South Carolina Spook Show, we've got a double dose of haunted theaters in this episode. The Dock Street Theater in Charleston has also had its fair share of tragedy since its opening, and plenty of ghosts to go along with it. We'll be right back. There is some very rich history in Charleston, South Carolina. In fact, a lot of the history here centers around pirates, the Revolutionary War, and the Civil War. While the Deep South is a grand place to visit, the history here isn't always the most positive. This could be part of the reason that the city is seen as very haunted. Along with the streets of Charleston, there are ghosts that linger in historic buildings as well. One of these buildings is the Dock Street Theater. The tales of hauntings in this building grow every time someone visits. Are you planning on visiting the Dock Street Theater? You better hold on to your hats, because the stories of the hauntings here may scare you away. Or will they? The Dock Street Theater was one of the first of its kind in Charleston. It's located in the French Quarter neighborhood. The beautiful architecture was seen as a huge change for the city, and when visitors come to see the city, the theater was the very first spot that they would go to. It is still open today and has been through millions of dollars in renovations. When it was built, it was on Church Street and Dock Street. It opened on February 12, 1736. The first play that opened there was called The Recruiting Officer, and visitors loved it and the actors that put it on. This version of the Dock Street Theater did not last long, though. There was a horrible fire in 1740 that burned down most of the French Quarter in Charleston, including doing quite a bit of damage to the Dock Street Theater. In 1809, it was decided that the theater was not necessary to the city, and it was rebuilt. It was not called the Dock Street Theater, though. It was now Planter's Hotel. This hotel was very fancy for its time, and the patrons loved coming here for the atmosphere and the parties. It had some amazing accommodations, and many historical figures either stayed here or worked here. In fact, Junius Brutus Booth, who was an actor at the time, worked here. He is also the father of John Wilkes Booth. Many survivors of the Civil War found work here, and a lot of them became famous shortly after. The hotel did not stay in business very long, though. The Civil War put quite a strain on the economies of the South. The hotel was abandoned, and it was to be demolished. The owner loved the building so much that he didn't know what to do. He put it up for sale, and the city of Charleston bought it. There were many renovations done to it, and it was going to be a Works Progress Administration building during the Depression. The builders kept the theater portion of the hotel, and it was turned into a performing arts center instead. The theater would become famous once again. The theater reopened in 1937. It would have another renovation in 2010 that would cost about $19 million. The famous balconies still enhance the theater, along with the grand lobby. The renovations included modern heating and air conditioning, new seating, new restrooms, and state-of-the-art lighting and sound. The theater became handicapped accessible, and soundproofing was done so that outside noises couldn't bother the performances in the theater. The theater is managed by the city of Charleston, and is also home to Spoleto Festival USA. There are also school day performances held here for students to catch during the day or on field trips with their schools. This is one of the most popular places to visit in the French Quarter of Charleston, and thousands will tour the building each year. You can catch local plays and concerts here, and you'll enjoy the fantastic time that you have. That is, if you don't catch the eyes of one of the most famous ghosts that reside here. One of the ghosts here is said to be that of Nettie Dickerson. Nettie came to Charleston when she was about 25 years old. She loved the city and thought that it was exciting and sophisticated. She was really hoping to meet her future husband by moving here. Times have changed quite a bit since then. At this time, in 1840, the average age for a woman to marry was 17, so Nettie was considered very old in those terms. She was determined to find the love of her life, though. Nettie had many men who wanted her because of her beauty and her intelligence. There were not many that wanted to marry her, though. Nettie ended up finding a job at one of the local churches and enjoyed her work there, but she would always look over at Planter's Hotel and see the men with their prostitutes and thought that she could be part of that scene, too. She decided to quit her job at the church and try that life for herself. prostitution would be her new job, and she did well at it. Men liked her a lot. She still went to church and would watch as the women would gossip about her and make horrible comments. This made her angry and soon became very depressed when men no longer wanted her because of their comments. She stopped going to church because of how she was being treated there. She enjoyed hanging out on her balcony at the hotel, and one fatal night, her priest visited her and asked her to come back to church. He said her life could change, and while he was talking to her on her balcony, a storm came through the city. A lightning bolt hit the rail of her balcony and electrocuted her. Nettie died horribly from the shock, and many people say that she has never left the hotel. Since the hotel became the Dock Street Theater, there has been quite a bit of paranormal activity. One of the five ghosts to be spotted is the ghost of Nettie. Many actors in the shows here have said that they have seen a woman walking around in a beautiful red dress. She glides across the floor, but those who have seen her say that she is not beautiful. Many described her face as zombie-like, and others have said it looks like something out of a haunted house. Some of the workers here said that they see her every day, but others say she comes and goes for months at a time. No matter how much Nettie's ghost appears, it's clear that she is still in the theater, and she wants everyone to know. If you want to try to get a glimpse of Nettie, you can book a tour at the theater or even go see a show there. Who knows what you'll see? The theater is haunted by more than just one ghost. In fact, many say that Junius Booth, father of John Wilkes Booth, also haunts the building. The interesting fact about these ghost stories is that Booth didn't even die in Charleston. Many of the actors and workers here have seen the figure of a man walking around the stage. They've reported seeing him when the building just had a few lights on, and they felt him breathing down their necks. Some of the workers here even felt him touching their neck. Visitors that have come to the theater have seen his full figure walking around on stage and in the hallways. No one is truly sure if it's a ghost, but those who have researched him believe that it is. There are stories of how much he loved the theater, and some say that he never wanted to be anywhere else. Perhaps this is why he's sticking around. The Dock Street Theater is a beautiful place, and those who can visit walk around the theater on their own. Shows are still being held here, so when you're in town, you can be sure to catch one. Perhaps when it's your turn to tour the building, you may see some of the ghosts too. Some people say that they have even talked to them, so you may be just one of the lucky visitors that can also do that. Hello everyone, thank you again for listening to another episode of South Carolina Spook Show. This one was a little more close to home for me, at least being in the Sumter area myself. My wife's great-grandmother actually was neighbors with Peg Cutnow, and so we talked about that a little bit, about being around during that time of her disappearance and her murder. Scary stuff. I mean, I have yet to check out the Netflix series Mindhunter, but I want to watch it one day, and I can't wait to get to the episode where they talk about Junior Pierce and reference him. That'll be kind of interesting, right? I wonder if there's any more connections to that series with South Carolina serial killers like Pee Wee Gaskins. Who knows? We'll have to check it out and see. I know there's only two seasons. Maybe there's another one in the works. Who knows? But anyway, thank you again for listening. I hope that you guys enjoyed this one. If you have any ideas for future episodes, please hit me up and let me know what you would like to hear. I'd love to cover it. And share this episode with someone who you think may enjoy true crime, paranormal stories, especially if they are from South Carolina or they currently live in South Carolina. It might be right up their alley. You can tell them we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and much, much more. And wherever you can, if you can leave me a rating or a review, that would be so much appreciated. You can also follow the show on social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, all that, at South Carolina Spook Show, also on X, formerly known as Twitter. Don't really do very much on that one anymore, kind of like the rest of the world. But anyway, that's at SC Spook Show. You can also send me your own personal stories, or if you would like to be interviewed, that is something I've actually got in the works coming up here soon. I actually sat down with my brother-in-law and did an interview with him and some personal experiences that he has had. So I can't wait to bring that to you very, very soon. Keep an eye out for that. Anyway, shoot me an email. It's scspookshow@gmail.com, or you can send me a message on any of those social media platforms that I mentioned before. If you don't mind checking out my other podcast, it is called When Words Fail, Music Speaks. I do that with my friend James Cox and our co-host Amanda Dolan, who is a licensed therapist. We talk all about music and mental health, and it's so fun. So go check that out. It is also available wherever you listen to podcasts. The untold story behind the always empty seat in this South Carolina theater may surprise you was written by Robin Jarvis for onlyinyourstate.com. Serial killer Junior Pierce, A Loser in Life and Death, was written by Brad Hunter for torontosun.com. And the Dock Street Theater was posted to charlestonterrors.com. All articles and stories read on South Carolina Spook Show are the property of their respective authors and is used for purposes of commentary and review. No copyright infringement is intended. Once again, thank you for listening. I am your creator and host, Blake Mosley, and this is South Carolina Spook Show. Y'all stay spooky.
Isn't always easy. In fact, we all battle depression during life's ups and downs. Music has always been the thing that we can rely on to get us through the tough times we all face. The podcast, When Words Fail, Music Speaks, with hosts James and Blake, discusses the healing power of music. They interview bands, break down genres, review band biographies, and a lot more. On When Words Fail, Music Speaks, enjoy interviews and lively discussions about musicians and songs you know and love. This is a podcast any music lover will enjoy. Add When Words Fail, Music Speaks to your podcast playlist right now. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and wherever you listen to podcasts.